Welcome to Love Fellowship Believers, a non-denominational church desiring to fulfill God's will. We invite you to join us in an atmosphere of praise and worship and the powerful teachings of Christ delivered in a most creative way that reaches every age. Located at 1900 Martin Luther King Jr. Boulevard in Greensboro, North Carolina, on the wonderful campus of Gillespie Park Elementary School. This year, we're focusing on building a foundation solidified by grace, with walls made by faith, and our homes being filled with salvation by being united in living devotion. We promise you, visiting us online or in the sanctuary will be an experience that will be life-changing and one you'll never forget. We hope to see you soon. Services begin at 11 a.m. Have a blessed day.
Father God, first and foremost, we say thank you. God, thank you again for this time and this moment, God. God, allow your word to be shared in the way that you would have it to be done here in this place, Lord. Open up our ears, our hearts, and our minds that we would be in a place ready to receive what thus saith the Lord. For God, we need you and can't make it without you. Bless us that we would be blessed. For it's in the wonderful name of Jesus that we pray. Amen, 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 and amen, amen. As you go to your seats, will somebody go ahead and put their hands together for the Lord? Amen. Amen. A very common title that you've heard already before, a very common title you've heard this statement said so many times before, a wolf in sheep's clothing. A wolf in sheep's clothing. A wolf in sheep's clothing. Ezra, so you can take the book of Ezra, you can take the book of Nehemiah, you can take Haggai, and you can take Zechariah, and you can take those books and you'll see some of this same story in all of those books. And it's about God's chosen people that are now in bondage in Babylon. And now that they're in bondage in Babylon, they're still, even though they're in bondage, it says a lot. Even though they're in bondage, they're still trying to do what they're supposed to do. They're still trying to do what they're supposed to do. They're still trying to be obedient to make sure they fulfill what thus saith the Lord. And so here you have the God's chosen people that have come together, and Zerubbabel has come here. This is you'll find this commonly referred to as the Zerubbabel Temple. They've come together to rebuild the temple that was destroyed. And so as they're coming together to rebuild this temple that's destroyed, they're working on the foundation. Because, of course, anybody knows in building that your house or the building or the structure that you're building is only going to be as strong as the foundation. And so they're working to get this built back up. But in the process of trying to get this built back up, the folk that are around them are saying, we would love to help you build your building. The people that are supposedly, the folk that are there to support, we would love to help to build your building. Now, these folk are actually folk that were actually planted from other countries by Assyrians within God's chosen kingdom. And so these people are placed within God's chosen people so that God's chosen people wouldn't come back together we're going to come back together strong. They tried to saturate God's chosen people with other folk that would have different views and different mindsets. And so if they had different views and different mindsets, what happened is that they started to intermarry. And as they started to intermarry with different views and different mindsets, the person that started off who was once a believer in God, a couple of generations from then, their children might not believe in God as much because now they have all of these other influences in their lives. Later on in the Bible, you'll find this group of people to be called Samaritans. And Samaritans, as you find out in the New Testament, is when Jesus would talk to the Samaritan woman, folk would say, why are you talking to the Samaritan? We'll find out that there was somebody that was going through that fell along to the side and the priest walked by and all that kind of stuff. But it was a Samaritan that stopped because the Samaritan was supposed to have all of these mixed views. Come on, y'all following me? And so these are the people that said, hey, we want to help you build your temple. Amen. It says here, now when the adversaries of Judah and Benjamin heard that the children of the captivity build the temple unto the Lord God of Israel, then they came to Zerubbabel and the chief of the fathers and said unto them, let us build with you, for we seek your God as you do. First point. I'm going to give you the background of this story, and as we go through it, I'm going to give you some more information for this story, but I want to give you a word that you can apply to 2015. First point, everybody that say that they with you ain't with you. Everybody that say that they on your side is not on your side. Pastor, well, how do I deal with that? How do I discern? You make sure you are lined up and doing what it is that you're supposed to be doing. You make sure that you have your conversation with God and you meditate and you pray and you ask him. But scripture right here shows us that everybody that say that they with you ain't necessarily with you. Their plan from the beginning was to mess it up. Their plan from the beginning was to allow the temple to not be successful. Amen? It says, let us be with you, for we seek your God as ye do. And we do sacrifice unto him since the days of Esarhaddon, king of Ashur, which brought us up hither. Now, this can be looked at as a true statement. This can be looked at as a true statement. It can be looked at as a true statement because not only did they do sacrifices in there, but they also sacrificed to other gods. See where the intermingling happens? And so now when we surround ourselves and we have some folk that have other thoughts and other things, if we're not careful, we'll start to be persuaded to think against the word of God. That's why it's real careful if you're married today, if you're sitting in here married today as a couple, it's real careful for you to make sure that you come together and you make sure you hang around the right type kind of folk. Because if not, there'll be starting to be a wedge between your marriage. Be careful, young folk, as you leave outside of your parents' home and you go out here into this world, be real careful who you hang around. I'm sure there's a lot of parents in here today. There's a lot of folk that are grown and older here today that can say, you know what, I remember somebody telling me I didn't need to hang around them. And I did and got myself in trouble. Amen? It says here, but Zerubbabel and Jeshua and the rest of the chief of the fathers of Israel said unto them, ye have nothing to do with us to build an house unto our God. But we ourselves together will build unto the Lord God of Israel as King Cyrus, the king of Persia, had commanded us. Now, they were smart enough to be able to say, wait a minute. We see your tactics and how you're coming and how you're starting to, you want to come in here and you actually want to sabotage what it is that we're trying to do. And so they were smart enough to say, no, you're not going to come in here. You're not going to go ahead and start messing up what we got going on because we're doing something unto the Lord. It's important to know what your purpose is. It's important to know your role. It's important to know what it is God has called you to do. And it's not necessarily everybody else's call, but it's yours. And so if God has called you to do a specific thing, be careful who comes willing and ready to assist. Because just as God has called you to do a specific thing, the Bible lets us know that there's an enemy. There's an enemy that searches like a roaring lion. And wherever he can get in to destroy, he'll do his very best to do that. So be careful who encamps and comes around you. Now understand that there's still a purpose for those that come against you. There's still a purpose for those that come to get you. Somebody's saying, Pastor, that doesn't make sense. What do you mean there's still a purpose for somebody that comes against you? If it had not been for Judas betraying Jesus. If it had not been for Judas being who he was, how would the story have gone? We say that God is an all-knowing God. So do you think Judas betraying him caught him off guard? He knew. Just as those we're learning in our Bible study and knowing the enemy, the trials and tribulations that come your way, be careful to say a prayer to get you up out of your trial and tribulation, because that very trial or tribulation could be the thing that's pushing you to the next level. And so although God's chosen people here are going through, they realize, hey, you're coming against me. No, I'm not going to let you come in here and sabotage what we're doing. We're going to make sure we stay focused on doing what it is God would have for us to do. In 2015, I encourage you. I encourage you to find out your purpose. I encourage you to find out your role. I encourage you to stay focused in doing what it is you're supposed to do. For we're living in a time where the enemy would try to destroy every single thing you put your hand to. Ever notice how when you try to make progress, or when you start to see yourself moving forward and things starting to get better, seems like all hell breaks loose? It's not a mistake. It's by design. And so we have to be more careful with who we surround ourselves with. That's why we can look in our Bibles and see in Hebrews 10 and 25, it says, don't forsake your assembling of one another together. It's important that we would come together like-minded so that we would be able to encourage and push each other. But when we get around some folk that aren't as like-minded, when we get around some folk and we open ourselves, we're very vulnerable. Let's see. Coffee. We have anybody that drinks coffee? Anybody that drinks coffee? Okay. So you drink coffee. And everybody in here likes their coffee to be a certain strength. Right? I like mine to be strong. You ever get some coffee that's diluted? For those that aren't coffee drinkers, what about if you some soda? Or some tea? Ever get some soda or some tea and the ice done set in it too long and it gets all watery? It becomes diluted. It's not as strong as it was. It's not the taste. And if you're not careful, as you allow other folk to come around you that ain't about doing or ain't about prospering, ain't about trying to do what it is God has called them to do, and you start getting those folk around you, it'll start to dilute your thinking. It'll start to mess with your thought process. That's why he says as part of the armor of God, there's a helmet that you need to wear to guard your thinking. Be careful of who comes around you. Amen? Amen. Amen. Now it says here in the last part of verse 3, it says, as King Cyrus, the king of Persia, had commanded us. So here in chapter 4, they're having to go back to a decree that was made earlier. If you take the same book of Ezra and you go back to the first chapter, you'll see that there's a decree that's made that said, yes, they could go build. So no one had the right to actually come against them. Now, this particular chapter is unique from other chapters in the Bible, because this particular chapter, the first few verses, deal with this situation head on. But I think it's verse 7 through 23 actually deals with the letters that folk tried to write to the king behind God's chosen people's back. And so they wrote a letter and lied in the letter. They said, hey, these people that you're allowing to build this temple, they're rebellious people. These people that you're allowing to do this, they're going to tear stuff up. They're going to mess up this whole situation. Our city will be in ruins. Things ain't going to be the way that they used to be. You need to stop them from building this temple. If they build this temple, understand how the temple was built. The temple was built with walls, and it had a holy of holies, and it had a wall around that, and then there was an inner circle. They had these walls, and said, if they build this up, there'll be a stronghold within our city. They'll rebel against you. They won't pay their taxes. They won't do what they're supposed to do if you allow them to do these things. There's folk right now that you don't even realize that say that they're your friends, but are actually trying to sabotage your blessing. There's folk right now that say that they're on your side, but they're actually trying to sabotage every thought process that you've shared. There's a part in the Bible where it says, don't let your right hand know what the left hand is doing. Look, there's folk that are trying to go against everything God would have for you to do. Some folk willingly know it. Some folk are doing it on purpose. Some folk have no idea that they're sabotaging your gift. They're sabotaging your purpose. I tell you to make sure you guard your mind and hold on to what thus saith the Lord in spite of the situation, in spite of the circumstance, in spite of how it looks. Because here in this particular part of the Bible, what starts to happen is that because they start to come up against them, because they start to mess with them, they start to deter from actually fulfilling what it is God would have for them to do. It says that they tried to go ahead and infiltrate and try to sabotage it from within. But then they said, well, once they couldn't get in, they said they didn't stop there. Now they were going to try to attack on the outside. It's something to be said when we can pick up the Bible and read in the scripture where it actually shows that there's an inner attack and then there's an outward attack. You have to guard your mind, because that inner attack, if the inner attack happens, it's worse than anything that you actually see on the outside. But if you're able to guard your mind, if you're able to guard your heart, no matter what happens on the outside, it won't stop what God has planned. Amen. So it says here that then the people of the land weakened the hands of the people of Judah and troubled them building, and hired counselors against them to frustrate their purpose all the days of Cyrus, king of Persia, and even until the reign of Darius, the king of Persia. This outside attack came. This outside attack, not only did they try to do it themselves, but they hired other folk to try to still throw off their purpose. There are folk that want to tear up everything you're trying to accomplish. Ever had a group of friends? You're hanging around this group of friends. You've known this group of friends for quite some time. But now you get in a situation where you get blessed and you're able to do something different than you've always done it. Maybe you grew up in a certain neighborhood. You're now in a situation where you can move to a different neighborhood. And instead of someone actually being happy that you actually are able to move and do something else, they want to talk about it. Maybe there was a situation with transportation, and now you're able to get a new car. Did you know that there's actually folk in the church that sometimes don't stand up in testimony to share what God has done for them because of how other folk might respond? But I'm here to tell you that it's better for you to go ahead and tell the goodness of the Lord in spite of what anybody else would do, in spite of how anybody else would respond, because God has a purpose for you. Here in this same Bible, in the book of Haggai, if you look over in the first chapter of Haggai, you'll find out that in the first chapter, the prophet Haggai comes up to Zerubbabel and he comes up to Joshua and he says, look here, matter of fact, why don't let me paraphrase it. Let's go ahead and turn over to the book of Haggai. The book of Haggai. You there yet? Keep going towards the New Testament. The book of Haggai. Haggai, Zechariah, Malachi. You there? It says here in this first chapter, it says, in the second year of Darius the king, amen, we just talked about Darius the king of Persia. In the second year of Darius the king, in the sixth month and in the first day of the month, came the word of the Lord by Haggai the prophet unto Zerubbabel the son of Shealtiel, governor of Judah, and to Joshua, same Joshua that we saw before, the son of Jodash, the high priest, saying, thus speaketh the Lord of hosts, saying, this people say the time is not come, the time that the Lord's house should be built. Then came the word of the Lord by Haggai the prophet, saying, it is time for you, O ye, to dwell in your sealed houses, and this house lie waste. In other words, you're taking care of your own home and not doing what it is you were first commanded to do. Now therefore, thus saith the Lord of hosts, consider your ways. Ye have sown much and bring in little. Ye eat, but ye have not enough. Ye drink, but ye are not filled with drink. Ye clothe you, but there is none warm. And he that earneth wages, put into a bag with hole. Thus saith the Lord of hosts, consider your ways. Go up into the mountain and bring wood and build a house, and I will take pleasure in it, and I will be glorified, saith the Lord. Here what's actually happening, Haggai is coming and saying, because the people had gotten deterred, because the people had gotten troubled, because counselors had been hired to frustrate the people in their purpose, now they had gone away from their purpose and had started to do other things. In understanding God's purpose in your life for you to go out and to fulfill it, it is not going to be easy. It is not going to be a cakewalk. The Bible lets us know that there are people that are going to try to sabotage you. That there are people that are going to try to mess up your purpose. That there are those that are going to come against you trying to do what it is God would have for you to do. If you're not careful, you'll get frustrated and you'll start to do something else other than what God would have for you to do. If you don't believe me, pick up the Bible and read God's chosen people when they went into the wilderness. Their job was to worship him in the wilderness and God would bring them to the promised land. But they got frustrated with their situation. They got frustrated by not having the food that they used to have. They got frustrated by not having what it is that they needed and thought that they needed, not having the water. And in their frustration, they took what they had and they melted it down and they made a golden calf and began to worship it. And when Moses came down from the mountain and he saw them worshiping this golden calf, God cursed him and said, you know what? This generation won't make it. Because they're not fulfilling their purpose. I know their hearts. They won't change. They won't do anything different. And so, you won't go into the promised land until this generation dies. I don't know about you, but I don't want my purpose to go in the grave. There's enough purpose already in the grave. I don't want my purpose to go in the grave. Haggai comes and says, look at here. You've gone away from what God initially told you to do. And then it says here in verse 6, you're working hard. It says, you've sown much, but you bring in little. Ever felt like you're working so hard and you're putting in all of this energy, but you're not getting anything out? He says here, not only that, but ye have not enough. Ye drink, but ye are not filled with drink. Ye clothe you, but there is none warm. And he that earneth wages and put it in a bag with holes. I don't know about you, but I don't want to spin my tires. I want every step I make to count. I want everything that I do to count. Be careful. There are wolves in sheep's clothing. If you take this and you apply it again, there are false prophets. There are ones that will sit there and tell you things that is not true. Paul and all the other prophets and all the other apostles and things that we see in the Bible are talking about the same type kind of thing. There were those that have come around you and they'll lie to you to tell you that the situation is one way when it's not. But I'm here to tell you the truth that God has a purpose for you. He has a plan for you. Be careful of wolves and sheep clothing. Well, Pastor, how is it that I'm going to be able to tell whether someone is who they really say they are or not? The Bible declares and talks about having a spirit of discernment. A spirit of discernment, in other words, that there's the spirit that lives within you that will identify the spirit that lives within someone else. And so if we have the same spirit, then the spirit inside of me ought to be able to identify with the spirit in you. There are wolves in sheep's clothing. I would encourage you, you don't know about this story, if you've never read this story before, to go back and look at this. Again, you'll find this in Nehemiah, you'll find it in Ezra, you'll find it in Haggai, you'll find it in Zechariah. To go back and read what God's people actually went through in trying to get this temple built. And what actually happened once they got the temple built. Understand, the temple was a place for them to go and to worship the Lord. The temple was a place where they would go and make sacrifice unto the Lord. And in the Old Testament, this is the place that they went to do these things. And if the temple wasn't set up, then they were not following God's commands because they wasn't actually doing what it is they were supposed to do. I encourage you today, no matter what your circumstance or your situation is, be encouraged to do what thus saith the Lord. Be encouraged to understand and know your purpose and to fulfill it. Understand, you're going to have stuff that's going to come against you. The enemy is going to try to tear up relationships. The enemy is going to try to mess up your situation to get your focus off what it is you're supposed to do. Know already, it's not going to be easy. Your purpose will sometimes put you in places where no one else is willing to go. Your purpose will sometimes put you in situations that no one else can handle, and it seems as though no one else will understand. But your purpose is exactly that. Your purpose. Please don't let your purpose go to the grave. Amen. 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 God bless you.